Gospel of John chapter 6. We're going to look at one verse of scripture. I'm going to do kind of a biographical message this morning concerning a question that I have wondered about all these years. And I want you to look with me at the Gospel of John chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verse 64, and then we'll be looking at some other verses as we go along. John chapter 6, verse 64. Do you have a Bible this morning? Anybody got a Bible? Let me see your Bible. Good. That's great. Some of you got your Bible. Some of you have an electronic Bible. And some of you fell from grace. I hope you'll get wherever you can see a Bible. Is there a y'all have Bibles in the pew racks there? Okay. Well, you may want to grab one of those then and turn to the Gospel of John if you don't have a Bible with you. Down here in John chapter 6 and verse 64, the first part of that verse, the Lord Jesus was speaking. Then we have a little commentary in the last half of the verse that speaks to that. And in verse 64, this is what you read. Jesus is talking, and he says in verse 64, "But there are some of you," he's talking to the disciples, "there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." We're going to talk about Judas this morning. You realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he began his ministry, the Bible says he chose 12 disciples. And one of those disciples was Judas Iscariot. And you remember the story how Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus when he was taken away to be crucified. He betrayed him. And the question that I've always wondered, and I've heard preachers preach on this, and I'm going to attempt to do it today, is why did Jesus do that? Why did he choose Judas when he chose his 12 disciples? Why did Jesus choose Judas? Judas followed Jesus some 3 years as a follower, as a disciple. I'm sure that Jesus allowed him to preach and teach as he did all the disciples that we read about in the New Testament. And I want you to get this, that Jesus even allowed him to be the treasurer among the disciples. 15, verse 18, the Bible says, Jesus said, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus said he knew that one of his disciples was a rascal, and he knew that he would betray him, but he said one reason he chose that one was so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now you say, well, what scriptures? Well, over there in Psalms 41:9, the Bible says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Ladies and gentlemen, it was clearly and plainly prophesied that Judas would do exactly what he would do. And then in John chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus said, now I tell you before it come, that when it's come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Now, I want you to know that Jesus was the Son of God. The Bible says that Jesus was God come in the flesh. And one of the greatest proofs of the deity of Christ is the fulfilled prophecies. And Jesus' betrayal of Jesus was a fulfillment of all that. Somebody has gone back in the Old Testament and they counted up 333 precise and detailed prophecies that deal with the coming and the life of death of our Lord Jesus Christ the first time. And Jesus Christ completely and absolutely fulfilled those prophecies. Other people say, well, all of those things were rigged up to make it look like Christ fulfilled those prophecies. But I want to remind you that most of the prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus' enemies rather than his friends. Those who would stand to lose the most by seeing the prophecies fulfilled. And so one reason Jesus chose Judas was that prophecy might be fulfilled, and one of the proofs of the deity of Christ is the fulfilled prophecy. Christ said, I'll tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. But now let me give you another reason I think Jesus chose Judas. I think Judas represents encouragement to the church. Jesus chose Judas to encourage us today. You see, the Lord in his wisdom was able to look down through the corridors of time and know that until the second coming of Christ, there would always be Judases in the church. Now you say, Preacher Mike, what are you talking about? I have not come to do what I do recently. I've been in a lot of churches over 40 years. I've seen a lot of people, I've known a lot of people, I've seen a lot of experiences. And I want to just say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that Judas was not the only Judas. He may have been the only one with a name, Judas, but we could have a Judas in this church. I don't think so, but you can't ever tell. We may have some Judases here, but I'm talking about church members who are not saved. Religious fakers. Religious charlatans. Sometimes they can even be preachers. And I tell you, I'm thankful to the Lord that although one of his 12 disciples was a hypocrite, and he was, no doubt about it, the point I want to make is that 11 of them were not. Now here's an observation that I've noticed through the years. Every once in a while, you'll see some preacher or you'll hear about some preacher somewhere who will run off with somebody else's wife, or he will embezzle some funds from the church, or he'll do something else wrong. And everybody says, look, look what he did. And it'll even be written up on the front page of the paper sometime. And we say, well, look at that. Look what that person did. But they will never say, look at all the preachers who stand Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and preach the Word of God, live right, live clean and pure lives. They never call attention to that. That never makes the front page of the paper. You know, I've noticed, you know, you can go out on a nice summer night, or maybe a winter night would be better when you can see the stars better. Maybe you're outside, you know, and you're walking along, and all of a sudden there is a meteorite. We call them what? Falling stars go across the sky, and everybody says, look, look at that. Rarely do they say anything about the stars who are up there all the time, twinkling and showing their light. Never saying anything about that. We only notice the ones that fall. They do not notice all the ones that stand there and shine and shine, and I guess that's human nature. But I am grateful there were 11 apostles who stood firm with the Lord Jesus. They did not quit on the Lord Jesus. And I believe the story of Judas ought to be an encouragement to all of us. And what I'm saying is, don't you let some Judas keep you from getting the most out of life. I know in recent years we have seen ministers fall, staff members fall, been a lot of talk about these things, and sometimes we tend to get discouraged. But the lesson is, don't let some Judas get you discouraged. Don't let some Judas keep you out of heaven. Sure, you know, I've had people tell me, "Preacher Mike, I hear what you say. I know I ought to be in church. I know I ought to be saved. But you've got some folks in those churches that are hypocrites." And I have to say, you're right about that. And they'll say, "Well, I'm not ever going to accept Christ because they're hypocrites in the church." Listen, sure, there's some Judases around today and in the church, but there are also some Peters, some Johns, some Jameses, some Andrews, some Bartholomews. And I believe Jesus allowed Judas to be in the ministry and do what he did, that it might be encouragement to people who meet hypocrites down through the ages. And they've always been there. They always will be there. But you don't let that hurt you as you serve God day by day. I think Jesus chose Judas to be an encouragement to the rest of us. I know as I have gone through churches and pastored churches through the years and ran into different people, it's always encouraged me to look at people like many of you who love the Lord, serve the Lord, just like those 11 disciples followed him. And that's always been an encouragement to my heart. But now let me give you another reason I think Jesus chose Judas to be a disciple. I think he did it, number three, to show the inadequacy of the social gospel. Now you say, "Well, what are you talking about?" We've got people today who tell us that the problem with people is simply environmental. We read our newspapers every day, we watch the news on television, and we see all this bad behavior, and somebody comes along, maybe some psychotherapist or somebody comes along, and they say, "Well, if we could improve everybody's environment, if they had better living conditions, if they had a better job or whatever, they would do better. A man cannot help what he does. He is like a computer which has been programmed wrongly, and he is the sum total of his heredity and his environment. And if he's raised in the wrong kind of environment, then it's only natural that he should sin." And they say, "Well, if you can take such a person, put him in the proper environment, then he'll be all right. He'll do right." You know, that's not right. And if you think about it, you realize it's not right. You see, mankind's problem is not environmental. You know what man's problem is today? It's his heart. You know what my problem is? When I have a problem with me, it's my heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And somebody has said the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Now you think about this. Nobody had a better environment than Judas Iscariot. Think about it. You think about his life. He walked with the Lord Jesus 3 years. Day in, day out, he was with the Lord, walking with the Lord, talking with the Lord, watching the Lord do his work, helping the Lord do his work. He walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord, lived with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, and he still proved to be a rascal. Folks, man needs more than soup and soap. He needs salvation, folks. A good environment's not necessarily the answer to our problem. You think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a perfect environment. They had all the conditions that were just right, and yet what did they do? Well, they committed sin. They rebelled against God. And our problem is our heart. We need a new heart. And as somebody has said, you can take the man out of the slums, but you can't take the slums out of the man unless he knows Jesus. But when that man has Jesus, you have a new man. He's born again. He's made new. And so I say to you, this old idea of the social gospel is no gospel at all. Don't you ever buy that idea of the environmental excuse for sin. I believe the Lord allowed Judas
to be one of the 12, to put a stop to that idea that if we could just make our environment right and have all the conditions right, we would do better. No, our problem is the human heart. But then number four, I believe Jesus chose Judas for another reason. I believe he did it because he wanted it to be a solemn warning to unsaved church members. Now, I'm not here today to cause anybody to doubt your salvation. That's not my point. That's not what I want to do, except just to bring out this idea. Think about this. Think about Judas's life. Judas was a member of the church. He was a member of the best church. He was among the 12 disciples, and the Lord himself was their Bible teacher. This week I've been down at Conway, South Carolina, hearing some great Bible preachers, great Bible teachers teach the Word of God. But I tell you what, nobody topped the Lord Jesus Christ. People said about the Lord Jesus, they said about him that this man speaks like no other man. And so here's Judas. And he walked with the Lord, talked with the Lord. He was a member of that group of the Lord. And if you asked Judas, are you saved? He would have said, like so many today, well, I'm a member of the church. You know, that's the thing that gets me. There's so many people who have the idea that, Preacher Mike, if you can walk back there in Miss Bonda's office and look on the computer and pull up all those names of those church members, you will find my name on that roll. So I'm saved. No, it doesn't work that way. Somebody could say, well, Preacher Mike, we'll just go to your church in Fountain Inn, and we'll go back there to Shelby Boland's computer. We'll pull up all those names, members of Fountain Inn First Baptist Church, and you may find my name right there, so I'm going to heaven. Please get this down. You're not going to heaven because you're a member of this church. And I don't care if you've been a member here for 100 years. You're not going to heaven because you're a member of a church. Now, please, please get that down. So many people have the idea, you know, I'm a member of the church. I didn't ask you that, Judas. I said, are you saved? Well, I'm a charter member. I was here when the church was instituted. No, I didn't ask you that, Judas. I'm asking you, are you born again? Well, I'm the treasurer of the church. You see, he had never been saved. He had never been born again. He had been whitewashed, but he had never been washed white. Now get this, all of his religion was external. All of his religion was a show. It was a put-on. It was a pretense. Jesus said one time, you are like whited sepulchers, but on the inside you are like dead men's bones. So many people have the idea, well, I'm a part of such and such a church. Listen, the devil just as soon send you to hell from the pew as he would the gutter. It doesn't make any difference to him. Doesn't make any difference. And the devil has pulled a slick trick on a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, they think they're going to heaven, but they're going to hell surrounded by baptismal certificates and perfect attendance records and church offering envelopes. They work in the church. They serve in the church. I mean, you think about it. Judas ran with the right crowd. He spent 3 years with the 12 disciples under the ministry of the Son of God. He had such a good reputation that he was the treasurer. Folks, men don't trust other people with their money unless they have a good reputation. So nobody suspected Judas of being a rascal. When Jesus said that somebody's going to betray me, nobody said, well, I bet it's going to be Judas. Nobody suspected him. He had an impeccable character outwardly. Now, here's my point. We have a lot of people sitting in our churches today, and everybody thinks they're so great. Everybody thinks they're one of the finest members. Why, they've been in the church since Hector was a pup. I mean, they're just as fine as they can be. They know all the ins and outs of church membership. They memorize the church constitution and bylaws. They may have been in Bible classes, may have taught Bible classes. Judas was just like that. Some have seen blessings, so did Judas. Many people know about Jesus, so did Judas, but Judas went to hell, and all these other folks will too, unless they commit their lives to Christ. You know, one of the devil's favorite tricks is to let people get their name on the church roll without being born again, without being saved. And I guess the question for all of us here this morning is, are we really saved? You say, well, I know the plan of salvation. Can I tell you something? Here it is. Go ahead and write it down. Take it home. Get you a piece of tape. Stick it on the refrigerator. You are not saved by the plan of salvation. Now let that just soak in. You're not saved by memorizing verses. You're not saved by a catechism. You're not saved by going to Bible classes about salvation in church. You're not saved by a plan of salvation. You are saved by the man of salvation. That's what you're saved by. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Has there been a time in your life when you have repented of your sin and trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted Jesus? What I'm talking about are lost church members. The world is full of them. One way I know that is this. Some years ago, we had a little crusade in our area of Fountain Inn, Cincinnati. The preacher came that week and he preached. God came down in that service. God poured out His Spirit on those services. And during that week, I had two or three of our people at Fountain Inn say to me, Preacher Mike, one of them was a deacon. Elijah Gibbons came to me and he said, Preacher Mike, I thought I was saved. I know I'm a deacon. I know I've taught Sunday school classes, but he said, I realize this week I'm not saved. I was going maybe by a plan of salvation, but I did not depend upon the man of salvation. And he said, I need to accept Christ. I need to make this decision for the Lord. And so that's what I'm talking about. People who trudge to churches Sunday after Sunday without ever accepting Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ let Judas be a disciple to illustrate to us the idea of lost church members. Now, I'm not saying you're lost today. That's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying to you that there are a lot of people who are depending upon church membership to get them into heaven, and that just won't cut it. That's one reason Jesus chose Judas. But now let me give you another reason. This is the fifth reason. We'll go ahead and wrap this up. Let me give you this fifth reason why I believe that Jesus chose Judas. He did it to show the terrible, awful power of sin. Over in Luke chapter 22, verse 22, the Bible says, and truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. You know, some people think, well, Judas really never had any chance, but he did. Everybody has an opportunity to receive Christ. But Judas refused his chance, and the Lord knew what Judas would choose because he knows all things. And Judas chose wrongly. Therefore, God decided to use Judas to set up the crucifixion of Christ. And notice how the power of sin worked out in Judas's life. Number one, sin deceived Judas. Judas betrayed Christ. If you read the Bible, evidently his conscience began to torment him. And you remember how Judas tried to undo what he did. You remember how he went to those chief priests and those Jewish leaders. He got 30 pieces of silver for turning Jesus over to their authorities. And the Bible says evidently he had this seared conscience and he wanted to undo what he did. He took the money back. Well, he wouldn't accept it. Everything had been set into motion. A sinner can never undo what he has done. He needs to be forgiven. But Judas never sought forgiveness. He tried to undo what he did, but he was in agony of mind and soul. And I want you to know, friends, that sin offers much, but it pays so little. I talked about this the other day. You know, sin, the devil has a way of taking sinful activities, and in full color, he will paint a beautiful picture of what will happen if you do this particular activity. And he'll make it seem to be so acceptable, and people fall for that all the time. But then they fall into that activity. I think I mentioned this. It's kind of like, here's a fisherman, maybe like Jimmy or myself or David. And you know, you look at my tackle box at home, all the different lures that I've got. I've got some beautiful lures. I mean, there are all kinds of lures. There are all kinds of colors, and many of them are shiny. And, you know, some of them are so pretty, you ladies could wear them for earrings. And you take that lure and you cast it out there, and there's a fish, and he sees that lure, and he sees how beautiful it is, and it's shiny, and it's got that little wiggle to it. Boy, they've got these lures now that get they have a wiggle to them that would even make me bite as it goes through the water. And the fish looks at that, and it looks so enticing, and so he bites. And then he realizes there's something wrong here as the hook punctures his lip and he's hung and he's caught. That's exactly the way sin is. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. And you know, it's out there and we look at that, you know, and all of a sudden we bite and then we realize there's trouble and it's not all that's cracked up to be. You see, the Bible says that sin is deceptive. And old Judas thought he was doing the right thing, but when he did it, he found out it was wrong, tried to undo it. Sin deceived Judas, and then number two, sin destroyed Judas. Now let me tell you what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 5 says that after that, after Judas tried to call everything off, the authorities wouldn't let him do it. He threw the 30 pieces of silver there on the floor, went out in the night, the Bible says, John says, and it was night. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, that Judas departed and he hanged himself. Then over in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, now this man Judas purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels, his innards, just gushed out. You know, I used to read those two passages where it says that he hanged himself, and then it says he fell and all his bowels gushed out, and I wondered, you know, how do you put those two together? What happened to him, really? Here's what I think happened. I think old Judas tried to call everything off. He had betrayed the Lord, and he realized what he had done was wrong, and so he tried to undo it. When he couldn't undo it, the Bible says that he went out, and it was night. You read that in the Greek in John's Gospel, it means more than he was just going out into the dark. It means that it was the darkest in his soul that it had ever been. And it was night, and he went out into the nighttime. And what I think happened was this, that he went out, he went up on a hill somewhere, had his robe on, had a sash around him tied off at the waist. He got up on a hillside, there was a limb reaching out over the vast chasm below. He took his rope, fashioned a noose, put it around his head, around his neck, tied to the limb, jumped off, hanged himself. Sun came up the next day. The heat started beating down upon his body. And like a dog that's been hit on the road, those juices began to accumulate. His old body began to swell up. Flies began to fly in and out of his mouth, all over his tongue. The birds came, pecked the eyes out of the sockets. Old tongue sticking out there, and there he was. And the stench, after a while, became almost unbearable. And somebody might have come along, and they may have smelled the odor at first and then found the body, and then they took a knife of some kind and cut Judas down, and his body fell down the hillside and hit below, and all his bowels gushed out. You say, Preacher Mike, we're about to go eat lunch. That's not a good answer. But what am I doing? I'm trying to picture for you the end result of sin. Sin is always like that. Sin never has a pretty ending to it at all. It starts out very attractive, very appealing, but in the end, there's always some kind of destruction. And so I want to say to you that sin deceived Judas and sin destroyed Judas. Now listen to this. Number three, I want to say that sin damned Judas. And you say, Preacher Mike, what are you talking about? What I mean is, Judas, when he died, went to hell. People wonder about Judas and they say, well, Preacher Mike, was Judas lost? Yep, he was lost. Listen to this scripture. The Son of Man goes, that is, it's written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. That doesn't sound to me like Judas was saved. The Bible calls Judas a devil. The Bible calls Judas the son of perdition. The only other person in the Bible called the son of perdition is the Antichrist. Judas, folks, was lost and he died and went to hell. But be careful here, don't make a mistake. Judas did not lose his salvation because he never had it. Don't get the idea that Judas was once saved and then he lapsed from the faith. The Bible says that Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Judas did not have salvation and then lose it. He never had it. And here's old Judas. What a terrible picture of the power of sin. Sin deceived Judas. Sin destroyed Judas. And sin damned Judas. That's the end result of sin. I tell you, I've got to wrap this up. But these are some of the reasons I believe that Jesus chose Judas. I believe he did it to fulfill prophecy. I believe he did it to be an encouragement to all of us. I believe he did it to warn us against the social gospel and to warn unsaved church members and to show us the damning power of sin. Now, I know what a lot of us think. A lot of us will say, well, Preacher Mike, I may be bad, but I'm no Judas. Preacher Mike, I may be bad. I may have some bad things in my life, but I don't consider myself to be a Judas. But listen, friend, if you're not saved, you are in the same crowd with Judas because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and you'll spend eternity with all the Judases who have ever lived in a place called hell. You know why? Because it's not the amount of sin that condemns you, it is the fact of sin. Now, not the amount of sin that condemns you, it's the fact of sin. You don't have to be a Judas to be lost. More people drown in 8 feet of water than they do 80 feet of water. And if you have ever sinned and have not received Christ, you'll go to hell right along with all the Judases who have ever lived. Now, that leads me to ask this question. Have you been saved? Have you ever been born again? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm not asking you if you're a member of this church. I'm not asking you if you've ever been baptized. I'm just saying, have you got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you've received the plan of salvation. I'm saying, have you met the man of salvation? Have you trusted Christ? Now I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. And the musicians are going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn in just a moment. And again, it's not my intent to make anybody doubt their salvation. I don't mean that at all. I'm just asking the question, have you had a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you haven't, you can have that so simply. By being willing to turn from sin and trust Christ by faith. And if you're willing to turn from sin and trust Christ by faith, and you pray and ask Christ to come into your heart, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm offering you that salvation today. Would you pray that prayer? Would you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you'll do that, when we sing this invitation hymn, would you come here? I'd love to pray with you, counsel with you about it. You might need a closer walk with the Lord. If you need that and you need to recommit your life to the Lord as a believer, you may want to come and pray around the pulpit here or pray with a pastor. If you're here today looking for a church home, God's led you to this place of service, then you come and do that. Move your membership. But however God speaks to your heart, I'm praying for you. And I pray that you'll make that decision Christ asked you to make. Father, I thank you again so much for the Word of God and for the messages and for the lessons that we learn from it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll use this message to speak to our hearts today about salvation. But also, Lord, speak to us about our walk with Christ and just have your will and your way in all of our lives. And we'll thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for these dear, sweet people of this church. And thank you for the ministry of this church. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.